Good evening. It was Rosh Chodesh Av this morning. I was thinking about the speech we're going to say tonight. And it's funny, you know, like my father presents a Musa Shmuz, basically. He's got a nice craft. Yeah. There's an interesting minig of Mashkichim. You know, the Bakram always complained. The Mashkiach comes into Yeshiva. He starts screaming, how come nobody's here for Musa Seder? How come nobody's here for the Musa Shmuz? And where's everybody? And I heard about a certain Rosh Yeshiva. He came into Seder one time. It was like, mamish, empty. It was like 5 minutes into Seder. And nobody was there yet. It goes over to like the 5-6 guys that are there. And, what's going on? How come nobody's here? Why is it so empty? And I'm like, Rosh Yeshiva, you're looking at the wrong people. Go look for them. We're here. What's pshat in this minig? It's a funny minig. That the people that come end up getting the Musa Shmuz. And the people that don't come never get to hear it. So minig Yisrael must have some kind of shayrish. Parshas Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu is giving a Musa. Not Parshas Devarim, the whole entire Sefer Devarim. The whole entire Sefer Devarim is Moshe Rabbeinu's Musa Shmuz to Klal Yisrael. And it's Musa, and it's Musa, and he's whacking them and screaming at them, the whole Sefer Devarim. And who's he talking to? He's talking to the next generation, the Greis and Tzaddikim, who are going to be coming into Eretz Yisrael. The old generation, who did the Egel, and did the Meraglim, and caused all the problems, they're dead and gone. Who's Moshe Rabbeinu giving the Musa to? All the people that are still there, all the greatest tzaddikim, the maminim, the maminim, oh yeah, they are Eretz Yisrael, and they didn't complain, and they're going into Eretz Yisrael, to them Moshe Rabbeinu is giving the Musa. It's pshat. Somebody told me yesterday that Rav Yaakov Galinsky said he has a tain on Klal Yisrael. Rav Yaakov Galinsky, the famous Maggid, from the Vardik, he said he has a tain on Klal Yisrael. Why does everybody go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky for brachas? But to him, they don't line up. He has a raya that his brachas are more successful than Rav Chaim Kanievsky's. What's that? He said every year, he tries very hard to attend Rav Chaim Kanievsky's Shriya Mashas. It's well known, Rav Chaim Kanievsky on Erev Pesach every year. Everybody makes a Siyim Bechairis. Rav Chaim Kanievsky also makes a Siyim Bechairis. And he makes a Siyim Bechar every year on Gan Shas. That's Rav Chaim Kanievsky's minute. So Rav Yaakov Galinsky says, every year I come there, and when he makes the Siyim, I go over to him and I say, Mazel Tov. And I say, like the classical bracha, the same way you were Messiah Shas Zeh, came to Siyim Shas Lachamo. And he says, Amen V'chein Lamar. He says, look at this. My bracha is Niskayim year after year. And his bracha is never successful on me. I haven't finished up. He says, how come nobody's coming to me for my brachas? They mamish every year, they work. It's a great way to build yourself a good track record is to give brachas to people that are already successful. Look, you see a guy's got a great track record. All the investments he always makes come out. He's got gold in a henta. He's the guy, go over, give him a few brachas, and then tell everybody, look at me, I've got a great tracker. So what's pshat? Moshe Rabbeinu is giving Musa to the wrong people. He's picking and choosing. To these people, the Greis and Tzaddikim, he's giving Musa to. Rabbeinu Yoina in Pirkei Avos says, Im ein ani li mili, kshani latzmi, mo ani vim lo yakshav emosai. It's not Rabbeinu Yoina's words, that's the Mishnah. If I am not for myself, who will be there for me? And if I'm only for myself, what am I? And if I don't start now, when am I going to do it? So Rabbeinu Yoina explains that this Mishnah refers to a person's hisayrus, to tshuva, to improve, to get better. And he says as follows, Musar is great, Shmuzin are great, opens some book and his fiery words about the devil, Gevaldik. It's inspiring. But im eina ni li, mi li. If I don't arouse myself and find applications for that which I've read to apply to myself and review it and apply it to my daily life, all the great Musar Shmuzin and Musar Svarim and great speakers are not going to help. It has to be ani li. You're the one that has to apply it to yourself. Because somebody's inspiration that comes externally ends up fizzling out very quickly. A coal burns, and a coal burns from within. When you're making a barbecue and the coals are hot within, even on the outside, they look white and dusty. It doesn't look like anything's happening. But it's red hot on the inside. That's when you know the coals are ready. You go ahead, make your barbecue, and it's going to last for a long time. But when the flames are shooting out on the outside, it's not really hot yet. Those coals don't really contain the real heat you're looking for. When the heat, the hisiris, the hislavas, the esh, is just coming from external sources, it doesn't have a key in it. It's not substantial. When the person goes and he brings it to himself, he applies it to himself, he searches and he looks for areas of improvement where he could apply that which he's read, that's anili. That's when you're doing it for yourself, and that'll taka have a key. So he's up to Beinu Yehuda. The Sol Salanta notes in the Ur Yisrael, it's probably well known, you've all heard this, he says that in the earlier generations, when the Chazan would get up before Rosh Chodesh Elul and give a clap for Rosh Chodesh Elul, he said the Shleimim, the Yoreim, would all mamish start shivering out of fear. Elul's coming. Ooh, they'd all start shaking. He says, isn't it funny? He says, you have all the guys, the slackers in the back, they hear Rosh Chodesh Elul, they say, what month did he say? They barely notice what the Chazan even mentioned, and they go on with the davening like nothing. And who is it that gets all scared? The greatest tzaddikim. They're the ones that are getting worried. They're the ones that are scared when they're at the mention of Elul. It's very strange. They're the ones that should be able to feel very complacent and comfortable. Elul's coming. I got a lot of luggage. Good mitzvahs in Yerushalayim. And the people that are lacking mitzvahs, they're the ones that should be shaking and quaking. And it's the reverse. So I had a Rebbe. His name was Rav Chaim Prusansky. It's a tzal. Was Nifter not long ago. And he used to tell us, he was basically introducing us to learning Musar. And he said, the Iker when you learn Musar is don't learn Musar for Yana. He said, classically, you open up a Musar Sefer and it speaks about, oh, Gaiva's terrible. Oy, yeah, it's taka terrible. That guy's such a bal Gaiva. It's taka terrible for him. Still, you know what it leads him to? Oh, Kass is terrible. Yeah, I know Yenna's a Kaisen. He could use a little work on Kass. It's leading him to terrible Averis. He says, it's very easy for a person to open a Musa Sefer and start applying every single label and everything he's learned to. Everything he's learned, he's going to apply to everybody around him. He said, the Iker about Musa is being able to learn it to yourself. Learn it, apply it, see how it's applicable to yourself. I always wondered when I was younger why they write Musa Sefer. The one who's opening the Musa Sefer, Hershein HaTzadik, just the fact that he's cracking open the Mesilas Yesharim. He doesn't need the Mesilas Yesharim. If he's opening it, he's already pretty good. And the guy who the Mesilas Yesharim really needs to talk to, he's pretty far away. He's not even going to open it up. So why did he write it? We see from here, Faket, that the Shleimim and the Yereim and the ones that want to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're the ones that the Musa Svarim and Elul and all of these inspiring talks, it talks to them. Because they're looking to hear. Klal Yisrael said, Nasev and Ishma. They're looking to do. The one that's looking to do, he's going to find things within himself to do. And he's always going to see things within himself that need improvement. The one who's taka chaser in his avodas Hashem and he's not interested, he's going to come to us for shmuz. And like I've heard once in Mashkiach, he asked the boy, why do you come to my shmuz? And he turned to his friend and he says, you never come to any of my shmuz. So the one that never came, he said, you know what, I tried your schmoozing a few times, but they don't talk to me. He says, stop coming. And the tzaddikol, he turns to him and he says, why do you come to my schmoozing? He says, every time I come, I feel you're talking straight to me. It's not a coincidence. One person is looking to approve, and he hears within the words of the speaker, he's going to constantly see and apply and feel the words talking to him. Because he's looking for improvement. And the other one who's not looking for improvement, he sees himself as being perfect. Everything's going straight over his head. He doesn't hear anything. Eibishter, it says, gave chachma lechakimim. Hashem gives chachma to the wise. Why does Hashem give chachma to the wise? So Chazal say, because they know what to do with it. They're already wise, what do you need the chachma? But we see from here that Musar doesn't go to the bad guy. Musar goes to the good guy. Yaakov Avinu and Esav, when they went to their father, Yitzchak Avinu was going to give all the brachas to Esav, and he was going to give a Musar shmuz to Yaakov. And it's brought down, many mefarshim say that Be'etzem, that was the way it's supposed to be. The Medrash Rabbah brings down Moshel Amad of a Doimah to a king who had two sons. One son was a fool, and one son was extremely philosophical and wise. And he decided before he was dead and before he would die, he's going to give all his wealth to the fool. Says the friend of the king came to the king and he says, What are you doing? How can you go and give the wealth to the fool? He said, listen, I love both of my sons. The philosopher, his whole life, if he even just has one pair of clothing and just a piece of old crusty bread to eat, he'll be on cloud nine. He's so in depth and enthralled and enjoying the world of Chachma, he doesn't need anything to keep him happy. He's happy as is. He's happy with what he's involved in. He doesn't need any entertainment. He's got it within himself. But the fool, if I don't give him the gashmias, if I don't give him the money, if I don't give him the worldly pleasures, he's going to have nothing. He's nevuchi. He's going to have a depressed life. So he's like the Medrash Rabbah, Yitzchak Avinu's brachas to Esav. Yitzchak felt, I have Yaakov. He's in Olam Haba. He's in Gan Eden. And he's in a base medrash. He's got his Gemara. And he doesn't need anything else. A be'ez of nevuch. If I don't give him Olam Hazeh, what's he going to have? And it says that Rivki Meinu understood that Saif, it's going to come out bad, because if Esav is blessed with all of Gashmias, he's going to use it to hurt Yaakov. As I state in the Medrash. So here we have Sefer Devarim, where Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to a Dor Zakai, a Dor of Shleimim, a Dor of Yureim, the dar that was batuach to get Eretz Yisrael and didn't complain about it. This is the dar that Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to and he gives Musar to. So the shaila is, Rashi says, Eila advarim, and we know the first pasuk in Dvarim speaks about the Eva Yardin, the Midbar, the Arava, Moel Suf, the Parnam, the Teufel. So Rashi, all of these are hinting to different circumstances that happened in the Midbar where Klai Yisrael was Chaytei, and Mishum Kvaydon Shal Yisrael, out of respect to the Yidden, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to say it blatantly and openly, to say all the terrible things they did. He was Marabbas. You guys remember where we were over there? You guys remember where we were over there? He didn't want to mention the actual Averis. He spoke about it Beremis. But Moshe Feinstein, the Darash Moshe, says a beautiful Deher in why Moshe Rabbeinu's Musar was Beremes. I'm not bets I'm going to be speaking about his answer. I want to give my own answer to the question. But it's such a beautiful vart that he says, I just want to share it with you. And Moshe Feinstein says that being that Moshe was not speaking to the sinners themselves, he was speaking to good people. He didn't want to expose them to evil that they themselves did not commit. Because exposure to evil plants it within yourself. The Torah says, don't ask Don't ask
how the goyim serve avodah zarah.
The curiosity, you know, you want to know what do the goyim do in church? What do the goyim do? Don't even ask, because even though you don't have a yetzahara for it now, when you expose yourself to it, you build a yetzahara. We all know that. When they get to children, there are certain things that even the goyim understand to be adult content. Because certain things they understand that as long as the person is not aware that they exist, they talk, there's no yetzahara. But as soon as a person is exposed and you inform them that something exists, somebody never heard of murder, and you start telling them that there's something called murder, it becomes a havamina. It becomes a possibility. It's within the realm of reality. Murder exists. Cannibals. Who would ever dream that there's such a possibility for one human to eat another human? But once it exists in a person's mind, it becomes a possibility. And being that these people did not commit any of the crimes that Moshe Rabbeinu was giving Musa about, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to say openly this Aveira and that Aveira and this Aveira and that Aveira, because he's talking to innocent people. Why expose them to information of Ra, of evil? It's just going to plant it within their realm of reality. It's going to become a possibility. Mela Moshe Rabbeinu did something unbelievably smart. He was meramis to it. And those that were already aware of it, and they already knew of those Aveiras, either their fathers told them or whatever it was, they understood the Musar. But those that were never exposed to it in the first place, it went right over their head. So he's like Moshe Feinstein. Wanted to share a thought with you. Truth is, I figure that usually when I speak, only the Reim and Shleimim come. We have a small crowd. So I could share with you some of my own thoughts that I was thinking about in the year to the parsha for myself, and share it with you. Meina ni li. The month is called Menachem Av. We titled tonight's speech as the Father's Message to the Boys of Summer. Menachem Av. Many people ask the question that Av L'chayr refers to an unbelievably good relationship. We say Kerachim Av Albanim. Kerachim Av Albanim. And this is the month where we've had all our calamities, all of our destruction, all of our yeridas, all of our problems, is in the month of Av. What's Pshat? If Av represents a loving father, L'chayr, all of these things shouldn't be happening in Av of all months. The Mishnah Berurah brings down from the Arizal that Tammuz is Rosh Teves. Out of order, but Rosh Teves, Zeman Tshuva Mimashmeshes Uba. The time of Tshuva is approaching and coming. In reference to El. Av is Rosh Teves Elul Ba. I'm in Yeshiva. Elul is much more of a plays a lot more of a role in my life. Sometimes I'm sharing with you my own thoughts. Av is Elul Ba. And Elul we know is Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li. Elul is already a tremendous month of love. It always bothered me that if Av means Elul Ba, so why don't you get to the point and call Av El, or Elul Ba, or call it something along the lines of El. If Tammuz was Man Tshuva Mevash Meshes Uba, so call Tammuz Tshuva. I don't know, but what? Well, why does it have to be Barashi Davis? Given the names of the months don't come from the Torah itself. Now we know. The names of the month are not Doi Raisa. That's why throughout Torah, in Tanakh already comes up, but in Chamisha Chumsi Torah, there's never a name of any month. All the months are referred to by the number. It's the first month, the second month, the third month. In Chamisha Chumsi Torah, there's not a mention of any single month. So what's pshat that we have this name? If the whole point of the name is to be meravis to you, Zman Tshuva Mamash Meshes Uba, so call Tammuz Tshuva. If Av is telling you to get ready for Elul, so say something about Elul. Another thing that bothered me is, how could you tell me that Av is all about El? As if nature basically defies that. I mean, of all the months of the year, the biggest chilled out month. For those in yeshiva, it's Bein Hazmanim. For those work, you know, their schedules are in a havoc. Everything's, you know, the kids' day camp, or, you know, the country, and then the people vacationing, you know, weekends and casual Fridays, you name it. I mean, it's a crazy month of vacationing and relaxation and involvement in the goof and exercise and nature and the physical part of the world. And this is the month that's telling us Elba. It's almost like in HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba betrunya in HaBriyas, the Eibush that's not coming to give us a headache. Hashem doesn't want to give us a headache. So Hashem's going to go and he's going to put Ella like right after the month where it's like, you know, it was disastrous in terms of the Daf Yomi. You're like, whoa, everybody's like way off course. Right after Av, like boom. You know, last time you saw Yechavrusa, it was like, which Masechta? Like, whoa. There, yeah, right. Straight from there to Ella, because Av is Ella ba. It's almost impossible. What's pshat that Av means El Ba, and Av is a month of unbelievable vacation time for everyone. These things always bothered me as a yeshiva bacher. Today and yesterday I've been giving it a little more thought. Famous pasuk of Mishlei that we're all familiar with. It's not Eishes Chayil. Shema b'ni musar avicha ve'al titoish Torah sinach. Listen, my son, to the musar of your father. Musar means critique or discipline. Listen to the discipline or the criticism of your father. And don't ignore, don't push aside the direction or instruction of your mother. And the many mepharshim that discuss the difference between the two, and l'chayra Torah should be associated with the father, and musar, you know, the mommy comes and she's the one that, you know, gives the patch and is telling you not to eat like a slob or whatever. She's the one that's giving you musar. What's pshat that seemingly that they're crossing each other? The father should be the Torah and the mother should be the musar. There's a sefer that's miyuchis. Supposedly it's been written by Rabbeinu Yoina. It's not confirmed. It's called Sharei Ha'avoida. And the basis, it's a Musa sefer. The basis of the entire Musa sefer is bringing forth the recognition in every person of where he comes from. What stock a Jew comes from. Look back at your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather. Who doesn't have somebody within their lineage, within their family tree, that was a Pesach Gadol, a Rav in Europe, but somewhere down the lines, we all come from unbelievably powerful and holy DNA. And that's the whole basis of the Sefer is this Chazal's expression of Mosai Yagiu Maisai Lamaisai Avoisai. When will my actions reach the actions of my father's? And basically, it's pretty open and obvious from the Sefer that even though we know there's something called Yiridas HaDoros, every generation we take a step down, and every generation our capabilities are much less, but it doesn't totally absolve us from looking back and demanding of ourselves. Every single person within himself has to be able to look back and say, am I shaming my forefathers? My father tells a story of a certain Kiruv professional who was a Baal Tshuva. And my father met him, you know, they crossed paths a number of times in their speaking careers. And my father asked him one time, what is it that, when did you turn around? He said, I was in a store in Tel Aviv, totally fry, unreligious, and I was in a takeout store, completely non-kosher. And I was waiting in line in the sweltering heat of summer in a non-conditioned takeout, non-air-conditioned takeout store. There was about 10, 15 people ahead of me in line. And they were all ordering sausages and chazer and then bacon and all the treifas. And I'm sitting there waiting for my treifa sausage too. And as the clock's ticking and the heat is getting to me and the smell and the humidity in the store and the schmitz, you don't even have to talk about it, especially during the 9 days. There he was, Schmitz, and his mom is getting to him and irking him in the long line, and the lady's complaining she wants this amount of sauce and keep that place dry and put it in separate containers. They got some ice. He said he was going crazy and suddenly it hit him. I'm sitting here being moiser nefesh. The Meiser Nefesh, I'm killing myself, waiting online for something that my great-grandfather would have been Meiser Nefesh not to touch. What am I, nuts? My great-grandfather would have given his neck and killed himself not to eat this stuff. And I'm killing myself to wait online to eat it. And I walked out of the store, and I started searching my roots and coming back to Yiddishkeit, and he became a very well-known speaker and Kiryas professional. Mosai Yagiu Maisei LeMaisei Avoisei. We have to look back. Avadi, he wasn't holding by killing himself to avoid treif, but within the Yeridas Hadoiris, we could still use that hindsight to create some level of expectation within ourselves. The difference between a mother and a father, perhaps, is that within every kid, I think, it's arguable, I don't have a makar for this, but perhaps this is pshat in the pasuk. Father comes home, he comes over to his son, and how was your day in yeshiva? How'd you learn? Were you good by your Rebbe? Were you not good by your Rebbe? There's such a natural instinct for the son to be compared to the father, that even without the father saying anything, the son already feels criticized. I'm sitting here tonight filling in for my father. I feel like a midget in my father's shoes. There's a natural sense of comparison that a son feels with the father. And there's a natural critique. There's this little guilty conscience always sitting on the kid's shoulder, always saying, are you up to your father's standards? Mussar, the difference between Mussar and Torah, is that a mother aims low and she offers Torah, she offers instruction to go further. Every mother, the kid could be the mass murderer, and then my chachkala, my claim of tzaddik will come here. Right? That's a Yiddish mother. Of course, yeah, I know you just killed somebody, but you'll be better tomorrow. A mother sees the kid as being a tzaddikal, and she's offering Torah, instruction, guidance, to go further. The father, on the other hand, is the other way around. The father, because of this natural comparison and this natural filling in of the shoes of the father automatically sees in his son his shortcomings. And therefore the father gives mussar, which is critique and criticisms of where the child fell short. That's the difference between Shema Bani Musar Avicha, listen to the critique because your father's noticing the shortcomings, and Al Titoish Teres Yimecha, listen also to the instructions of your mother where she's just telling you how to go further and farther. Throughout the year, perhaps we don't notice our shortcomings. It's not so easy for us to see and feel that we need to crack open a Musa Sefer. Those of you who came here tonight, talking to the Yirei Mushleim, you always feel a drive to improve. But it's definitely harder. It's harder. It's very hard for us to feel our shortcomings and see where we could improve. When the father's around, the shortcomings become blatantly open. They're felt, there's a conscious, it's inside the heart, there's a feeling of guilt. Rav Avram Shor, Shlita, said that the reason why we had the Churban in the month of Av is goofa because of the point we're discussing. Chodesh Av, the Shekhinah is right there with us! The Father just came home! He's there, He's with us, His presence is so close! That's when our shortcomings come out in the open. That's when there's critique. That's where we could feel and it's noticeable that we're lacking in the Chodesh of Av. Because the Father's right there. And when the Father comes home and He's right there with His Son and the Son, Taka, did not do well, you can expect a patch. That's Chodesh Av. Chodesh Av is the month where Be'etzim, we're so close with the Father that it becomes a month of criticism. It becomes a month where our failings and shortcomings are so blatant and open. That's Chodesh Av. And that's why the Churban and Peronius and Einshim, all these things come up. Don't deal with Goyim today. Don't deal with Goyim during the month of Av. Because it's dangerous. The Father's going to look at you. You know, and how have you been acting? You've been acting like a son? That's Chodesh Av. Perhaps that's why Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to give blatant, straight-out Musa to Klal Yisrael. It would be too strong. It would be too strong. You wouldn't be able to take it. It's very natural for a person to give obvious Musa. They can't hear it, especially in our dar. The poskim speak about if we're chayiv teichacha. Any of you that have attended any of the Project Inspire things that try to get people to do kiruv, kiruv nowadays doesn't mean screaming chil shamas at somebody, because people can't deal with it. We can't deal with straight direct teichacha. We can't. It has to be very subtle. Our shortcomings nowadays are so open, and we have such a natural feeling of guilt that when you give somebody mussar, it kills them. So they just throw it over the shoulder. So Moshe Rabbeinu decided he's going to be merames the mussar to Klal Yisrael. And then it'll have a kiyum of anila doidi. Those that get it, those that catch it, those that hear the mussar, they'll apply it to themselves. And they won't feel like a target of a missile and a bomb. They'll be able to accept it. They'll be able to hear the subtle hint of Musa within the speech and apply it to themselves. But if you come out direct in the open, it's a killer. The Dayus HaRishayim, they were able to talk to each other. You see sometimes the Rishayim, they have tshuvas from one to another and they scream at each other, you know, it seems to me that you don't have a brain in your skull. And the other one responds, you know, it's better you shouldn't ever have been born. And two tzaddikim are talking to each other. Tanks can shoot massive projectiles at each other. Somebody once told Rabbi Chiel Yaakovson, a big Bal Musar in Eretz Yisrael, that he can't learn Musar. He opens up a Musar Sefer and he gets all depressed and everything, and then the next day he does all that various because he gives up hope. So he can't learn Musar. So he says, I don't know which Musar Sefer you're learning. But he says, it's obvious that when you open the Musar Sefer, you're opening up a cannon, and the cannon is shooting a cannonball at you who are a mosquito. It's not going to work. It doesn't go. Musa nowadays has to be much more subtle. It has to be ani l'doidi. A person has to be able to read his own messages. You go to a shir, or you read a vart and chumash, a gemara, a halacha. You can't rely on the open words, because the open words go right over your head. If they inspire you a little, it'll die out, drop later. The only way that anything can have an effect is if it's subtle. So if we could take the words and read between the lines and then apply it on our own to ourselves, then it could have a kiyum. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to be merames the Musa. Perhaps that's the way a father has to give Moshe. Because a father, be'etzem, is naturally so demanding of the child, the only way the father could give Moshe is subtly. Because if he gives it direct, it's going to be a bond. The kid's going to be broken. Just share with you one more vart. The Medrash Tanchuma says in Parshas Kedoshim, beautiful Medrash Tanchuma, it says the Eibishter told Klai Yisrael, be Kodesh, be holy. Moshal Amadav Adoyim, it says, be Kodesh, why ki ani Hashem Kadishkem, because I am holy. So the Medrash Moshal Amadav Adoyim, a king who came to marry a queen. And he told the queen, listen, I'm marrying you. I love you, I cherish you, I respect you. But let me tell you something. When I take you as a bride, you become a representative of me. I am proud to have you as my wife. But then again, you have to understand that now we're one. You represent me. I am giving you a lift. I'm making you into a queen. But on the other hand, if you act with lower standards, not only are you bringing yourself down, you're bringing down how people look at the king. So I am bringing you up, but yet also the way you act can also affect how people look at me too. Zok HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael, be Kadosh because I'm Kadosh. I am the source of Klal Yisrael's Kedusha, Hashem says. But on the other hand, you're also the source of my Kedusha. Because if you act with Kedusha, you're the representative of me. People take a see of Kedusha Hashem. When you act with a lack of Kedusha, it affects how people see me. My Kedusha is affected. Rashi says, this is in the Siddur Rashi, that when we learn, when we say Magen Avos, the first bracha in Shemayin Esrei, and we say Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibar, V'Anoira, Kel Elyon, all of these wonderful titles, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, Rashi says, how on earth are we supposed to know, or see, and be exposed to Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibar? What's Gadol? What's Gibar? What's Neira? We're exposed to all this. Where do we see God's awesomeness? Where do we see His greatness? Where do we see Goymel, Chasadim, Toivim? Okay, we see it. So, Rashi, we don't see all these things by the way Hashem acts. You know how these things are exposed? When a Yid looks at another Yid, and he sees how far Chesed goes, you see the people who run Tehillim, Shabbos, Chaverim, Matzalah, Zaka, all the unbelievable Chesed that goes on by Jews, and Vashteitzach, the God of the Jews, is definitely greater than themselves, right? If they're Bali Chesed, Fashtetzach, their God is going to be even a greater Bali Chesed. That is what gives a person the awesome exposure of God's kindness. When you see how awesome the kindness of Klal Yisrael is. Wow, Hashem must be an awesome Goymel Chazanim type. When a person sees a Yid with Kedusha, it's unbelievable. The Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. The guilt of a Yid, a guy wouldn't even dream of being guilty on the things that we feel guilt with. The Kedusha that we have, that's an exposure to the Kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If God's creation, Klal Yisrael, could be so Kadosh, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Alach Es Kama V'Kama. And each one of the titles of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Akel, Agadol, Agibra, V'Anayra, Kel Elyon, Koyim HaChasadim, Toivim, Koyna, every single one of those things, Koyna Yakol, look at the world's richest person. He owns everything. Oh, no, God's even greater than that. He owns the world. That's what we could see within our own world, what Hashem's greatness is. When we look at Klal Yisrael, we could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness. Klal Yisrael's Musar has to be what we could compare ourselves to. You hear Musar from somebody, it's going to go right over our heads. The only way we could get Musar and gain from it is if we on our own look around us and expose ourselves. What Rav Moshe Feinstein says, that Moshe Rabbeinu was so concerned, he didn't want to expose Klal Yisrael to evil because it'll have an effect on them. Just making them know about the Meraglim. Oy, oy, oy. Just telling them about the Egel. Hey, that's already terrible. It gives them exposure to Ra. Alachas kama v'kama letzad ha'toyv. To expose ourselves to toyv and learn from it. How much more powerful can that affect our lives? Rav Moshe Feinstein himself, on Yomim Leroyim, he would not open a Musa Sefer. He would open storybooks of tzaddikim. A Musa Sefer perhaps can sometimes be a little too direct, and it goes right over our heads. But when you read stories about tzaddikim, you read stories about chesed, you feel you have an innate nature perhaps to chesed, go buy a book about unbelievable stories of chesed, and it'll expand your horizon of what it means for chesed. And it'll inspire you, and you'll apply it to yourself. That's the form of subtle musa that we need. Read stories of people that were great. Read stories of people that share certain character traits that we have, and it'll expand our horizon and plant seeds of kedusha, growth, and inspiration, that when it comes to Elul, we won't have to do tshuva. Elul will already be ani l'daydi v'daydi li, will be tremendously beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we'll all be zeicha to a gevaldige year of Geulah.